So it's John chapter 11. The first part is 1 to 7. The death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The second part is verses 17 to 27, which is over the page. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answers, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And the last part is verse 38 to 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Ed. Do keep those Bibles open, because we're going to be referring back to that story in just a minute or two. But first of all, I've got a question I want us to think about. How, well, I didn't put it on there, how will we get to be with God forever and ever? The first line of the creed, we're thinking about back in October, about how amazing God the Father is. And maybe think, oh, it would be great if we could spend forever with him. How would we do that? Well, I've hidden 5 possible answers on A4 sheets of paper around the church, and I wonder if I could have some helpers try and find 5 sheets of paper, A4 sheets of paper with some words and a little picture on. And if you find one, come and bring it to the front, trying to avoid the chair down here. But if you can see any sheets of paper, if you've got one near you, maybe you can get some small person to come and help you bring it up to the front. That would be great. Have a look round. Oh, brilliant. You found one there. Come up on stage. Well done. Big sheets of paper. We've got one. Come and join me up here. Brilliant. You can stand here for me. Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. Well done, Noah. Well, Vanina, come up to the front. Oh, Thea's got one. There's one more. Oh, brilliant. We've got a whole lot of them. Do you want to come and stand up and hold them up so that everyone can see? Some of you might need to hold them up above your heads. Okay. Well done. Joe, you don't need to hold it up above your head. I might be a bit too high. Okay, So we've got some possible ways that we might think that we get to spend forever with God if we keep the rules, or maybe it's giving money to charity, maybe it's being religious, maybe it's coming to church, or maybe it's through Jesus. Now, some of these are really good things to do. Coming to church, very important. Giving to charity, really important. Being, keeping the rules, trying to live God's way, all very important. But the Bible tells us there's only one way that we will get to be with God forever. And that is by following Jesus. Jesus says that himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He doesn't say there are lots of ways and I'm one way. He says, I am the only way. If we trust in Jesus forever and ever, we'll be with God. Thank you, guys. Can we just put them down on the table here? Can we put them down? Yeah. Thank you. Brilliant. Go and take a seat. Now, that is a massive claim that Jesus is making, a huge claim. And for a claim like that, we're going to need some evidence to see if we can believe him. You know, we don't just need lots of facts about Jesus. We need to see the evidence of what he's like. Can he really be the only way to God? See, that's how human beings, that's how we work. We look at the evidence and make decisions about trusting things because of the evidence. Because I might really, really, really think that the moon is made of cheese. I might really think the moon is made of cheese. But when the space rockets and the scientists go up and come down and bring lumps of rock, we see the evidence, and so then I believe that the moon is made of rock, not of cheese. Sad as that may be. We also do that about people too. People might think they can do things, but we need to see the evidence if we can believe it. Now, Chrissy was telling me that she thinks she can walk the length of this stage, balancing a tray of cups on her head. I'm not sure. I think the only way we can find out is if we see the evidence, can't we? Right, Chrissy? Go. Do we think she's going to make it? Go a bit quicker. Oh. Keep going. I think the evidence...
I did it last time.
I think the evidence is abundantly clear. We can't trust what Chrissy was saying there because she clearly couldn't do that. That's fine. Okay. And I wonder if anyone thinks that they might be able to say their name really clearly with 5 marshmallows in their mouth. Does anyone think they can do that? Come on. Mel, right. Help yourself to 5 marshmallows and chuck them in your mouth. Oh, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right, let's see the evidence. I want to hear a nice clip. Annabelle Rogers. I think it's perfectly clear. You couldn't do that. Go and take a seat. Okay. You see, we need evidence to believe that. We don't believe Annabelle can do that because we've seen the evidence. Okay. And remember, Jesus is making a massive claim, even more important that he can fit 5 marshmallows in his mouth and still speak. He is claiming to be the only way to God. The only way that he came to earth as a powerful rescuer to save all of his chosen people through his death on the cross. And that he's the only way to be with God forever and ever. Well, let's have a look in the Bible and see what evidence we have to believe that. And if we open our Bibles, we see loads of stories about Jesus doing things that are impossible for us, things that only God could do. Now, this to me seems very good evidence that Jesus Christ is God's Son. So we were looking in lanterns and torches last week about how Jesus fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, exactly. Now, I don't know, there's maybe 70 people here, give or take. I've got one little bit of bread here. If I shared this round, we'd get only a crumb or so each. But imagine if we filled this entire church building right up to the ceiling, but we filled the hall as well. Jesus fed all of those number of people, well over 5,000 people, with just 5 bits of bread and two fish. That is absolutely impossible for any of us, but not for Jesus. We're going to be looking next week in Lantern Torch at another miracle Jesus did. Jesus, one night on a very stormy sea, walked out on the water to see his friends. Wow, that is fairly amazing thing to do. Now, just, you know, we said that the bread, we know that wouldn't work. Well, I just thought, well, let's just see why we've got Chrissy here. I've got some water here. Let's see if Chrissy can walk on the water for us. What do we think? Go for it. Yeah, clear out the cups. Have a go. Let's see. Are you going to walk a bit? Oh. That's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Yeah, see? Working
on.
Go quickly again. No. Okay. Walking on water, impossible for Chrissy, impossible for any of us, but not impossible for Jesus. Oh. Jesus was also able to make sick people better just by touching them. That's impossible for me to do. It's impossible for any of us to do. But it's not impossible for Jesus. He could calm storms. He could calm the wind and the waves. He could control evil spirits to get out of people. He was able to do all of that. That's impossible for us, but not for Jesus. This is all good evidence that Jesus really is who he says he is. And what about our story that we heard today? Do open up your Bibles, if you close them, to John 11. And we're going to be having a think about this story where Jesus shows us that he is even more powerful than death. He's in control of death. Okie dokie. And you're also going to need your lolly sticks, which I hope you've got with your faces. Yeah, brilliant. I'll ask you to hold up those faces at various points. So, okay, so Jesus has been teaching. And he hears that his friend is poorly. Now, if I heard that my friend was poorly, I would probably want to go and help him immediately. But Jesus does something completely different. If you've got your Bibles up and have a look down at verse 6, look number 6 with me. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. So, Jesus loved his friend and his friend's sisters, and because of this, he waited and decided to go somewhere else for a few days. Now, I wonder if you can hold up the lolly stick that you think represents the faces that his friends were pulling, maybe the face that we're pulling because of this. What's Jesus up to? Well, we've got some shocked faces. We've got some smiley faces. We've got some very confused faces at the back. Yeah, I think the confused face, what's Jesus up to? Does he not care? What's he doing? Well, the thing is, we see in the story that Jesus really does care. But what he wants more than anything else is for people to see who he really is and trust him as God. Lazarus being poorly is an amazing opportunity that Jesus uses to show people, to give people the amazing evidence that he really is the only way to God. So Jesus goes off elsewhere for a couple of days, and sadly, Lazarus dies. And they wrap his body up, and they put him in a tomb. Jesus knows this has happened. And then 4 days later, he arrives, and he visits Lazarus' sisters. How do you think Lazarus' sisters are feeling? Yeah, some very, very sad faces. Yeah, their brother has just died. And Martha, we see Martha in the bit from the edge of Redford. She's really upset. And says to Jesus, if you'd been here, Jesus, you could have stopped him from dying. And Jesus says, oh, don't worry, Lazarus is going to come back to life. But Martha doesn't really quite understand what he's saying. And then Jesus says something completely amazing. Have a look with me at verses 25 and 26, look number 25 and 26, just over the page. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This is a completely amazing statement. Jesus isn't just saying he can control life. He's saying he is life. That life only happens because he says so. The power over everyone, over every living thing, is wrapped up in this human called Jesus. Now, if anyone else said that, it would just be crazy, because it'd be so obviously not true. But we know what Jesus does next. And that miracle really shows that he wasn't lying. He really is life. So Jesus goes to the tomb and says, roll the stone away. And the people go, don't do that. It's going to be all stinky and smelly. Body's been in there 4 days. They do it anyway. Jesus prays and then says, Lazarus, come out. And amazingly, still wrapped up in the bandages, out walks Lazarus. He's alive. What do you think the crowd's face looked like when that happened? Well, they probably were quite confused, but lots and lots of very surprised faces. He was dead, and now he's alive. That is impossible. This is amazing. Jesus is bringing someone from dead to life. How do you think Lazarus and his sisters felt at this moment? Yeah, exactly. So happy, big smiles. Jesus shows his God power over death and life and rescues Lazarus, changes his life around, and brings him amazing happiness. This is a wonderful, true story, and John, who's written it down for us in the Bible, was there watching it all happen. But the thing is, this was just a little advert, a little taster of an even more amazing story of Jesus' power over life and death. Not long later, John was going to be at another tomb and another dead man. Can anyone think of a Bible story with a tomb and a dead man? Anyone think? Yeah, Eva? Jesus at Easter time, yeah. Jesus died, was dead, and was put in a tomb. He was life himself, but he died. 3 days later, he came back to life. He broke out of the tomb, sin and death defeated. And all of this is evidence in Jesus's total unique specialness. That's why we can say in the Creed that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, our Lord. But in order to enjoy that forever with God that we're thinking about, we need to believe and trust in him. Trust that he really is our rescuer, who alone can rescue us from the death we deserve because of sin. We thought about those other ways at the start of our service. So does coming to church by itself make us a Christian, make us be able to be with God forever? No. Does giving to church, does giving to charity make us be able to spend forever with God? No. Does keeping the rules, by trying to keep the rules in our own strength, does that mean we get to be with God forever? No. There was another one. Oh, there it is. Does being religious, it doesn't matter what faith we believe in, does being religious mean that we get to God, whatever way? No. The only way is by believing in Jesus. He really is God's only Son, our Lord. None of those other ways work. Even if they do stick to us and we keep trying to live that way, we can't make ourselves good enough for God. Naturally, because of our sin, we're a bit like Lazarus in the tomb, dead and smelly, unable to stop loving and thinking and doing and saying the wrong things. The only way we get to be with God forever is by trusting in Jesus, if his life-giving, death-beating power comes in and rescues us. It's only this Jesus, the Jesus that the Bible gives us so much evidence for, if we live as him, as our Lord, as our King, as our boss, So if we're not trusting in Jesus, maybe we think we'll be okay with God. Try and do good things. Try and live a kind life, you know, give money, come along to church. The thing is, we need to trust in Jesus. He is the only way to a forever with God. For adults, maybe the Hope Explored course that we're doing after half term might be a really helpful way for you to think about and check out the evidence for Jesus yourself, that first Easter story. For kids, keep coming along to lanterns and torches and beacons and candles. Ask those questions. Hear what the Bible says about who Jesus is and the claims he makes. And if we are trusting in Jesus, then let's be enjoying that wonderful rescue now. Jesus has done everything that we need to be wonderfully with God forever. So let's thank him for what he's done. Let's thank him often, on our own, in our families, at church together. Let's be quick to say thank you to Jesus Christ. And let's let him be the Lord, the boss, the king of our life. So let's make every effort we can to try and live all of our lives, of school and work, families and hobbies, everything about him. One day, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever, and that'll be wonderful. But let's start living with God, with Jesus as our Lord now. See, it's all about Jesus. He's shown us the evidence. He really is the rescuer we need. He really is God's only son, the Lord. Will we trust him and start living that out in our lives for ourselves? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for how special and unique he is. Thank you that he came to rescue us from our huge problem of sin and death and make the way for us to be with God forever and ever. Help us to remember this and to live with Jesus as the Lord, the boss of all of our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.